listening to the Bible Insights podcast with your host, Val Waldeck. In this series, we're looking at a bird's eye view of the book of Revelation. We've been through chapters 1, 2, and 3, and we've come to the end of the church age. We know that Revelation chapter 1, verse 3 promises that those who read this prophecy will be blessed by the Lord. It says, "Blessed is he who reads, and those who hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written in it, for the time is near." If you read and you hear what he's saying and you keep the things that he's saying, the Lord says you will be blessed indeed, because you know what's coming ahead. Nothing that's happening in this world can frighten you. And the Lord says, for the time is near. The return of Jesus is at hand. John gave us an outline of his book in Revelation chapter 1, verse 19. The Lord said to John, "Write the things which you have seen," which he did in chapter 1 when he talked about this vision of the Lord that he'd seen, the glorious, passionate, magnificent Jesus Christ in relationship with his church. "Write the things which you have seen and the things which are," which is the church age. And we've just been considering in previous podcasts the seven churches, which represent the seven church ages and different types of Christians and congregations. And now we're moving on to the third part of Revelation chapter 1 verse 19, and the things which will take place after this, after the church age, once the church age is complete. And the Lord made a promise to the faithful church at Philadelphia. He said, Revelation 3:10, "Because you have kept my commandment to persevere, I also will keep you from the hour of trial which shall come upon the whole earth to test those who dwell on the earth." The Lord said there's an hour of trial. There's a terrible time of persecution and trouble coming, and he's referring to the reign of Antichrist, which is going to affect the whole earth. And we have a question: are there any warnings that the end of this world's history is at hand? Could we be living in the last generation? What is the world going to look like just before the rapture of the church? To find out more, we need to listen to Jesus' sermon on the Mount of Olives when he talked about the signs of the end times. You see, there's no sign before the rapture. The rapture could happen at any time. There's no particular sign. Because we're living in the end times and expecting and anticipating the rapture of the church, we are living in the time of the signs of the end. Jesus talked about them in Matthew chapter 24. He sat on the Mount of Olives overlooking the temple area, and he shared with his disciples a number of signs that would precede the finalization of the church age and the reign of Antichrist. In John chapter 16, verse 21-22, the Lord said these end times would be like a woman experiencing the pains of labor. When those pains give birth to the baby, to the Antichrist, the church will be gone. This world is experiencing some labor pains. The disciples came to Jesus, and this is recorded in Matthew chapter 24, verse 3, and they said to him, "When will these signs be?" They asked him two questions: when will these signs be? And secondly, what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? And the Lord answered and said to them, "Take heed that no one deceives you." Jesus made a comment at the end of his Sermon on the Mount, at the end of Matthew 24:34-35, and he said, "Assuredly, absolutely certainly, you can believe this, assuredly I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all these things are fulfilled. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away." What generation was he speaking to? He wasn't speaking to the disciples that were listening to him on the Mount of Olives. That generation has passed away. Jesus was speaking to the generation that will see all the end time signs happening at the same time at the birth of the reign of Antichrist when the rapture takes place. So we need to ask ourselves two questions. Have all these things happened in any generation to date? And are they all happening in our generation? Some people say you shouldn't look at signs of the times, but Jesus said we should. Matthew 16, verse 2. He said, "When it's evening, you say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and threatening." Hypocrites! You know how to discern the face of the sky, but you cannot discern the signs of the times. The Lord said, come on, church. You can discern the weather by the weather patterns. Look at the signs around you. Look at the patterns that you will know that you are living in the end of the end times. As we consider these signs, I've grouped them into seven groups just to help us understand better. The first group are religious signs. Jesus said, "For many will come in my name," verse 5, verse 23 of Matthew 24. He said, "Many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the Christ,' and will deceive many. If anyone says to you, 'Look, here's the Christ,' or 'There,' do not believe it." And we know that many, many people have come and claimed to be the Messiah. Jim Jones, 900 people committed suicide under his watch when they thought he was the Messiah. There's a chap in Australia who claims to be the Messiah. There have been many false messiahs, but the Lord says, don't be deceived by them. Don't believe it when someone says, "Look, here's the Christ." Don't believe it. Because Jesus said, John 14:6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me." Don't look at false messiahs, don't look at false prophets, but keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. Acts 4:12 says, "Nor is there salvation in any other, for there's no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." But verse 11 and verse 24 tells us that many false prophets will rise up. And the saddest thing is that they will deceive many. For false Christs and false prophets will rise, and they will show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. Have you found yourself looking and hearing some of the things that are happening in our generation and wondering, is this the Lord? The Bible says false Christs and false prophets will arise, and they will show great signs and wonders. You will see miracles, healing signs, great wonders, and you wonder if that's the Lord. We have to watch out for deception, because they will try to deceive even God's people. These false prophets in the end time, according to the church at Laodicea, will have an obsession with money, with power, and with lust. There'll be a lot of false religion around, like Spiritism and Satanism. Deuteronomy 18 tells us that there shall not be found anyone among you who makes his son or daughter pass through the fire. In Bible days, people would take their children and hand them over to demon spirits and offer them on altars. When people think it's inconvenient to have children and look after them, and they cause their death. The Bible says that no one must make his son or daughter pass through the fire. No one who practices witchcraft, or a soothsayer, or anyone who interprets omens, or a sorcerer, or anyone who conjures spells, or a medium, or a spiritist, or those who call up the dead, all those, the Bible says, are an abomination to the Lord. And there's so much of this going on in our generation. The Lord says, avoid it. Isaiah 2:6 says, "Lord, you've abandoned your people, the house of Jacob. Why have you done that?" And the Lord says, because they're full of superstitions from the east, and they practice divination like the Philistines, and they clasp hands with pagans, and they have fellowship with pagans, and they pray together with pagans. The Lord says, "I am the only one. I am God, and you shall have no other gods before me." A second group of signs is found in verses 6 and 7. When the Lord says, "You will hear of wars and rumors of wars, see that you're not troubled, because these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet." It's not the wars and the rumors of wars, it's not the world wars that are the sign of the end times. But here comes a sign in verse 7, "Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom." The whole world will be at war, but not one great big world war. Nations will be rising against nations, kingdoms, groups of people, ethnic groups will be fighting each other. And all this will be made possible by increased knowledge in the end times, so that people can develop these awful weapons and drones and all these sorts of things. In fact, God told Daniel in chapter 12, verse 4, it's recorded. He said, "Daniel, seal your book, shut up the words and seal your book, the book of prophecy that Daniel wrote, because it's not for your time. The end times will have some signs, and here are two of them. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase." We know that in our generation, many, many people are running to and fro, and knowledge is increasing amazingly. The things that have been developed in the last few years have never, ever been experienced in the history of the world. Revelation chapter 13 warns us that there's coming a time when Antichrist will reign. He'll have a global government, a global religion, and a global economy. We're watching these things happening before our eyes. We've heard of world parliaments and world governments. And when we had that pandemic, the global world health people told us what we should do and what we shouldn't do. The false Christs and false messiahs, the religious signs we can see, the political signs happening in our generation. And there's a third group of signs Jesus talks about in Matthew chapter 7, and these are physical signs. He said, "And there will be famines, pestilences and earthquakes in various places. There'll be more famines, more pestilences, and more earthquakes than this world has ever experienced. A fourth sign he talked about in Matthew chapter 24, verse 10, he spoke about persecution signs. In these end times, it won't be a popular thing to be a Christian. He said many will be offended, and they'll betray one another, and they'll hate one another. Christians are waking up to the realization now that biblical beliefs are resulting in job losses, in educational problems. We know that they're even trying to remove the name of Christ from our history. Before we speak about before Christ and after Christ, now that's politically incorrect. Now we must talk about BCE, which means before the common era, or AD, Anno Domini, Latin for the year of our Lord, or CE, the common era. Don't talk about Jesus Christ. The Gideons are a group of men who place Bibles in hotels. And in some hotels around the world, Bibles have been banned because it makes people uncomfortable to come into the room and find a Bible there. We can see persecution signs. You can get arrested for preaching the gospel on the streets of London, never mind preaching the gospel in a Middle East country. And so we've seen four signs already that are very real in our generation. The fifth sign Jesus talked about in Matthew 24, verse 12, he said this will be a generation that sees moral, or rather immoral, signs. And because he said lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. Have you ever seen so many Christians turning their back on the Lord, turning away from the faith, getting involved in other religions, rushing to join cults and sects and becoming Muslims? The love of many are growing cold. They don't want to go to church anymore. Christians aren't hardly reading their Bibles anymore or praying anymore. And there's lawlessness. You can't leave your car outside your house without wondering if it'll be there in the morning. It's a time of lawlessness with love growing cold. 2 Timothy chapter 3 just gives us a description of this end time generation. And I think you could say very easily, our generation is seeing this. But know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good. Jesus spoke about this in Matthew 24, verse 37. He said, these will be like the days of Noah, so also will be the coming of the Son of Man. He said it will be like the days of Lot. We know what that generation was like. It was an alternative lifestyle generation. People were living in ways that God expressly forbade. You can go into Romans chapter 1, verse 18 to read more about it. The Bible says that there's going to come a time when people won't listen to the truth. They go around looking for teachers who will tell them just what they want to hear. They won't listen to what the Bible says, but will follow their own misguided ideas. And like Noah's day, they are warned, but they won't listen. The sixth group of signs is found in Matthew chapter 24, verse 14, and it's the sign of gospel preaching. This is absolutely my favorite sign. It says this, and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all nations, and then the end will come. Some people have said that Jesus Christ can't come back and the rapture can't happen because everybody hasn't yet heard the gospel. Every individual hasn't had it preached to them, but that's not what the scripture says. The scripture says that this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all nations. This is the first generation, folks, that the gospel of the kingdom is being preached around the world 24/7. In the 18th century, we had the printing press, the invention of the printing press. More Bibles were printed and more Christian books, and the gospel was preached around the world. The 19th century, the radio took the gospel even further. The 20th century, TV came on the eve of the 21st century. We had satellite TV and the internet. And now 24/7, anybody, anywhere in the world that has a connection can hear the gospel. For the first time in the history of the world, the gospel is being preached in all the world as a witness to all nations. Our generation is seeing the sign. We're seeing all the signs because we're living in the end of the end times. Do you know when September 11 happened, Billy Graham preached and the whole world tuned in to hear him. And the gospel was for the first time preached around the world. Everybody had an opportunity to hear the gospel. I want to encourage parents and grandparents in these end times. As gospel preaching is going forth, the Lord promises in Acts 2 verse 17, He said, It shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. I'll pour out my spirit on your men and on my handmaidens, men and women and children. God is with you in your battle for your children. In this generation, when people are trying to change your children's view of themselves and putting all kinds of things into their mind and trying to take them away from believing in God, the Lord says, I'm going to pour out my spirit on the young people. Watch the young people. Parents and grandparents, pray for your young people. God is with you in your fight for them, and He will do wonderful things for them. And then the seventh group of signs. And the final group, Matthew 24, 32, 33. It's the sign of the fig tree. We know that this is one of the symbols of Israel, and the Lord is talking about Israel, the nation of Israel. He said, Learn this parable from the fig tree. When its branch has already become tender and puts forth leaves, you know that summer is near. So you also, when you see all these things, all these signs that Jesus has talked about, when you see all these things happening at the same time, in the same generation, know that it is near, at the very doors. The sign of the fig tree, 1948, Israel became a nation once again. And after 2,000 years of being nothing, Jerusalem once again became the capital of Israel. The fig tree is blossoming. I know that the world wants to give away half of Israel's land. There are 150 million Arabs in 17 countries, and they want to take little Israel, which is about the size of the Kruger National Park, cut it in half and give it away. And Israel, as we've seen, is willing to fight for her land. Folks, these are signs of the return of Jesus. These are signs of the rapture of the church. We've seen religious signs. We've seen political signs, physical signs, persecution, madness, moral or immoral signs, gospel signs, and signs of the fig tree. And remember what Jesus said in Matthew 24, 34, 35. He said, Assuredly I say to you, this generation, the generation that sees all these signs happening at the same time, will by no means pass away till all these things are fulfilled. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. I'm not saying that the rapture is going to happen today or tomorrow or next year. We can't set times. Jesus said no one knows the day or the hour. There's no signs to warn us. It will happen suddenly. It's on God's calendar and it'll happen suddenly. And the most important thing the Lord says is to be alert. Luke 21, 28, He said, Now when all these things begin to happen, these signs of the end times, when you see them beginning to happen, He says, Look up. Because your redemption draws near. We need to be alert, we need to watch what's happening, and we need to watch out for the rapture of the church. Jesus said, Be expectant. Matthew 24:42. He said, Watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. Jesus said, No one knows the day, no one knows the date, no one knows the time. He said, Two people will be in a bed, and one will be taken and the other left. Two will be walking, one will be taken and the other left. It'll be so sudden, so dramatic, so unexpected. He said, Be expectant. The most important thing, Matthew 24:44, therefore you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour that you do not expect. This is the time, folks, if you're listening to this and you don't know Jesus, Revelation 3:20, the Lord says, Behold, I stand at the door and knock. I stand at the door of every heart and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, the Lord says, If you open the door and invite me in, I will come into him and dine with him and he with me. This is God's invitation to the world. Why, the Christians should be ready and prepared for that trumpet sound. The one who is not yet born again and a child of God and redeemed by the blood of Jesus must hear and open your ears. You see, many people believe in Jesus. They believe that he died for us. They believe perhaps even that he's coming back. They even believe that the rapture of the church will happen. But it's not enough to believe. We have to believe and receive. We have to hear, believe, and open the door. Believe and receive will mean that you become a child of God. The last words, the last book of the Bible, Revelation 22, verse 20. Jesus said, He who testifies to these things says, Surely I'm coming quickly. What is your response to that? If you're saying amen, even so, come, Lord Jesus, you are ready for his return. But if you're saying, no, Lord, not yet, don't come yet. There's some things I have to do, some people I have to forgive, some habits I've got to cut off, some affairs I've got to break up. Folks, do it now. Do it now when you finish listening to this podcast. Pick up your phone, put right the things that are wrong, and be ready for the return of Jesus. So we've come to the end of the church age. We're standing here waiting for the trumpet to sound. From next week, we'll be looking at what happens to the church when the rapture happens and what happens to the world. And we'll be looking at the reign of Antichrist, the 7-year reign, and finally at the return of Jesus Christ as we continue in this series. Join me again next week for another exciting look at this amazing promise of the Lord that he's returning quickly, recorded in the book of Revelation.